this generation. In Matthew 24:34 says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass all these things be fulfilled." And of course, he's talking in that in Matthew 24, Luke 21, he's dealing with the second coming of the Lord Jesus and talking about intermingled in those is the rapture and also the revelation when Jesus comes to set his feet down. But he said this generation, and talking about the fig tree, talking about all that. And we mentioned last Sunday morning that all this points to the fact that Jesus is coming. I believe with all my heart that we're living in a generation that shall see Jesus come again. Now, I said this generation, now I may pass off a scene, but I believe somebody living in not here in this building will see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I may certainly be here when he comes, because he may come today. And we don't know when he's coming. We just know we're living in a generation that God talked about in his word, and this generation which we now find ourselves now living. Now, last Sunday, I mentioned the fact about humanism and the way that it's been accepted in our society today, atheism, evolution. We talked about no set standard for morals and deification of man, his own God, and all that. And we'll not re-preach all that, but in induction, we mentioned all of that and how true it is. Then we talked about, in verse number 11 last week, there is a generation that curses their father and doeth not bless their mother. And we talked about without natural affection. The Bible in other places speaks about this generation being without natural affection. And I'm not going to preach that again, but I'm just going to simply say to you, we're living in a generation that is without natural affection. That's why mothers can kill babies. That's why dads can beat their babies. And that's why they can shoot somebody and think not much about it. That's why so many things are happening in our day. That's why everything is in such a mess. There's no natural affection. And I realize that there are those that do have natural affection, those who know God, those who follow God. But our society, our world, not just in America, but across our world. And the Bible says in this generation that we're living in would be without natural affection. I talked about in Isaiah chapter 3, sissy men, spoiled children, and silly women. And that's a good thought. And if you'll read it in context, you'll see every bit of it right there. And it's there. We're living in that generation. We've got sissy men. We got spoiled children and silly women. And that's good preaching anytime you want to preach that. That'll preach. And it's in the Word of God. It's true. And I believe we need to understand that and take heed to it, because we're living in a generation that has all kinds of things about morals that is not right and are accepted in our generation, this generation. I believe we that are Bible believers, Bible preaching, Bible teaching, ought to make a stand and stand there and refuse to be influenced by what is politically correct in our day. And they tell us that we're narrow-minded and foolish and we're ignorant and unlearned. I read in the Bible about another bunch that they called ignorant and unlearned. And you know why they did that? Because they're preaching Jesus Christ. And they took knowledge of Peter and John and them said, well, they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I say hallelujah. Let them say what they will. I want to take knowledge that we have been with Jesus and have fellowship with him. And we certainly need that in our day, do we not? And so let's get on to verse number 12. And we're going to deal with that and try to deal with it to some degree anyway. And somehow this verse, this week I've been thinking about, and I told you last week, now I'm not just preaching something to be preaching it. I'm going somewhere with this. And I got something else burning in my heart that I want to preach. But God said, get this one first. And so I've got to do what I feel like God wants me to do and get this setting that he wants set, and that we all might grasp the need of real revival. And I pray God would help us. I'm talking about this generation. Now, we as God's people, we need help. I'm not just talking about the world out here. I'm talking about we need help. We that know Jesus Christ need help. We need to be drawn closer, need to have a greater burden. We need to have revival. They're singing about revival. God, burn a revival in my heart. and let it burn high and convict me, show me what I need. But oh, I was thinking about verse number 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. I call this a deceived generation, and we are in a deceived generation today. And I pray that God will speak to hearts, and somehow in this one verse of scripture, God really burnt in my heart that I need to preach that today. And this morning, somebody in this house needs to hear it. And fact is, I believe everybody needs to hear it. But there's somebody God's dealing with that needs to hear this well. And I pray that the Holy Ghost will make it real to you that need it so desperately here today. There is a generation pure in their own eyes. And I want to talk about that. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, there is a way seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 25 says the very same words. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And he repeats that in Proverbs. And I want to say to you today, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You don't have to do much witnessing to understand what that verse is saying. That people are deceived in our day. And deceived, they don't know what really is going on. They're deceived. And they need some help. And I pray that God would help us today not to be deceived, but that we might know truth. And the Bible says, if you know the truth will set you free. Yes. And if you're deceived, you're in a mess. And the devil is a great deceiver. And he's at work in our world, deceiving minds and hearts on every hand. And I pray today that you're not deceived. But if you are, I pray the Holy Spirit will make it real to you, and that you'll get saved today if you're deceived in that area. But sometimes we're deceived in other areas of our lives, and the devil loves to deceive us and get our minds and hearts messed up, get us out of the will of God, get us going in the wrong direction, get our hearts on the wrong thing, and he sits back and laughs at us. But today, may God help us to see this generation. And I said this generation. He said, there is a generation. I'm saying this generation is a generation that is deceived, no question about it. And we talked about these verses here in Proverbs, but look in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26. Listen to what he says. And the very first phrase of that verse, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's plain language. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. I've had people tell me that, well, in my heart, I see it this way. I believe I'll be all right. The Bible said, if you're trusting in your heart, you are a fool. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart? And you don't know your own heart without the Holy Ghost of God making it real to you to know your own heart. And so here today, I pray the Holy Spirit will have a freedom to work and speak to our hearts and deal with our life. It's in the heart that we have the problem. We have a heart problem. And until you're saved and born again, that heart is not fixed like it needs to be fixed. I remember reading about the psalmist David said, my heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I'm glad my heart's been fixed. I've been to the repair shop and got it fixed, amen. And that repair shop's located at Calvary. And a mechanic was the Lord Jesus, the Holy Ghost. And I never had thought about preaching that, but I preached that. And the Holy Ghost did a work and fixed it up just right. And now, thank God, my heart is fixed. And I praise God it is. And I pray that yours is. Amen. If your heart's ever been fixed, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 21 in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter number 7 and verse number 21. I want you to see this. Mark chapter 7 and verse number 21. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. Now notice what he said. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. And that simply means unbridled desires and lust and all of that. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now notice what he's saying, from the heart. He's all these things proceed, and we're living in a generation that takes these things so lightly that pay much attention to them, but we need to understand that that comes from within the heart. The heart's not right. The heart needs to be fixed. I believe today there's a whole lot of people that say, I'm saved, that know nothing about a work of the Holy Spirit in their heart, birthing them in the family of God, making them a new creature in Christ Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. Adam and Eve tried to sow fig leaves together, and they thought, well, that'll take care of the problem, and I'll be all right. I'll take care of my sin. I realize I'm naked, so I'll sow fig leaves. And we've got a generation of days trying to sow fig leaves. Instead of being letting God do a work in their hearts, and he had to slay an animal and take coats of skin to cover them, a picture and a type of the blood being shed and God putting the covering over. I'm glad, thank God, I'm not just robed in some man's philosophy or some church's philosophy or theology. I'm robed in the blood and the robe of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of that, we're naked spiritually and we're full of sin and corruption and going to hell without God. And we today in this generation, I'm saying this generation is a deceived generation, and we need some help in this generation. Isaiah 64 verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags, and our righteousness in the sight of a holy God is nothing but filth in the sight of a holy God. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm not so bad. I don't curse and I don't drink liquor and I don't do this and I don't do that. That don't make you righteous in the sight of a holy God. The very best you are, the very best you can do in yourself is filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. And I pray the Holy Spirit will seal that to your heart here this morning, that get deep down inside and you realize that's the truth. That's what God's saying. And I want you to understand what God said in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that's a real work of God. That's not something man does. That's what God does. And the Bible said, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I believe that with all my heart. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, I realize, and I want to say this, and I preach this all the time, but I know you've heard it, but you're hearing it again this morning because somebody in the house needs to hear it, because we are a deceived crowd, and we need some help. And these people sitting here in this house today, if I walked up to you and say, are you saved? You say, yes. And if I say, where are you going when you die? You'd say to heaven. And you'd at least say, I hope so, or I think I am. And but today, I want you to know that you can know that you're saved, and you can know that you're going to heaven. And it's not a hope so, maybe, might make it, a trying to make it, and all of that kind of stuff. These people sit in churches on Sunday morning, in this church, as well as other churches, and have beer at home in the refrigerator. They watch pornography. They're hooked on it, amen. And they have all that in their lives. These folk that have sexual sins in their lives and live like it's all right. These people that lie all the time and think everything's fine. And they'll tell you, I'm saved. And none of that seems to bother them. I want you to know today that if you ever really get saved, it will bother you. And you can't, if you're not your own, you're bought with a price. And therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. And I'm not preaching anything about how you live to get to heaven. You're going to heaven because you're saved by the grace of God. But if you ever really get saved by the grace of God, he'll change you from the inside out. Yes, sir. I'm read over there in Mark chapter 7, it's out of the heart where these things proceed from. And they, some people that are maybe not committed them literally, but it's in their heart. And it's, they would if they thought they'd get by with it. Amen. 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 Good preaching, preacher. And we're living in a generation that acts like being saved is so you come to an altar and ask God to save you, and then you just don't give him your life. You don't give your heart to him. You don't give your life to him. Doesn't make any difference about all that. And just go your merry way and live your life. Come to church if it's convenient, not if it's not. And just do your thing here and there. I'm saying, I believe God's sick of this generation. He said this generation over in Revelation chapter 3 is lukewarm and said it made him sick. In other words, makes him want to throw up. I believe God can look at this generation today in our so-called fundamental churches and see the unfaithfulness and see the ungodliness and see what is going on in our day and say, that crowd makes me sick. I believe I'm tired of that crowd. You say, preacher, you're being mighty plain this morning. I just feel like preaching this morning. I'm tired. I'm tired. I push. I brag. I plead. And folk go about their merry way. I'm saying today, friend, God's still God. He never has changed. He's still on the throne. He still lives. He's a holy God. He's eternal God. And God's not going to overlook our little sin and act like we're not guilty and act like everything's fine. We need to get right with God and let God do something in our hearts and stir us and set us on fire for God and then reach out and get others for Jesus. We need to do that. Amen. Get others for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. But these people sitting here this morning in the house of God, you say, preacher, you ought not try to judge people. I'm not. I'm just inspecting fruit. He said, by the fruit you shall know them. Amen. I don't believe you have to beg saved people to go to church. I don't believe you have to beg saved people to live for God. You may have to preach to them once in a while and try to help them out because old flesh gets in the way. And we have to deal with that every once in a while. If you never have to deal with your flesh, you're probably lying right now. Need to get right with God. Amen. Your flesh gets in your way. Your flesh gives you a problem. My flesh gives me a problem. I look at my biggest problem every morning when I look in the mirror and say, you are my problem. And that's the truth. I am my biggest problem. You're your biggest problem. And the flesh is in our way. But Paul said, I die daily. And that dying daily is, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, live in faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What he's saying is, I want to die to myself and live unto God. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. God wants our bodies a living sacrifice. He don't want us to die. He may want us to die someday for him, but right now he's wanting living sacrifices to live for him. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you saved? How do you know you're saved? How do you know that? I go to church. Well, that don't make you saved. The devil comes every time we meet. Amen. I guarantee you the devil's presence in this building right now. And God's here too. So, preacher, I made a profession one time. You'd be surprised, anxious you get about how you know you're saved. I had this feeling. Something happened one day, and well, I had a feeling too, but that doesn't mean I'm saved. You can have feelings and not be saved. Amen. Devil give you a feeling. Did you know the devil? He's a deceiver. I'm talking about being deceived. Now, this verse said that there's a generation. There's a generation that says they're pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Now, I believe God meant what he said in that verse of Scripture. There's a generation, this generation, that says they're right in their own eyes, but they're not saved, and they can cuss, and they can live together, and I'm married, they can do all these things, say, I'm saved. God never sends chastisement. They never get brought down by God. Ain't something wrong with that kind of theology. That's not Bible theology. I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. God will not let me get by. I can't even think of foolish thought and get by with it. God begins to deal with me, and I'm glad he does. A preacher, do you ever think foolish thoughts? I sure do. I think foolish thoughts, crazy things. I mess up, but God don't let me get by with it. I can't get by with it. Somehow, God, the Holy Ghost, just says, that's wrong. And I'm glad he does. He lets me know I'm his. If I could do it and didn't get bothered by it, I'd worry about it. And some of you ought to get concerned right now about it. because you think dirty thoughts, you can look at dirty things, you can live your life, and you don't want me to see it. I've walked in the hospital room to visit one day, and a lady had a, I don't know what kind of magazine it was, but it went under the cover real quick, and she was a church member. And had to hide her magazine from the preacher. I want you to know you can hide it all you want to, but you can't hide it from God.
Yeah, amen.
I'd been in a home, and the liquor bottle kept running out from under the couch, and they kept kicking it back. At first, I thought they had a problem with their leg, and then I saw what was coming out from under the couch. They didn't want the preacher to see it, but God sees it, and God knows it. And that's just some things I'm just tossing out to you. But these are little things in our lives that we have that we try to hide from God, think God doesn't know. God knows everything about you. You don't hide anything from God. Your life's an open book before Him. Amen. And that's good preaching too. And but you say you're saved. Why don't you tell me why you know you're saved? Tell me why are you? Do you know you're saved? Well, preacher, I know I'm saved because, well, what's that because? I hope you got a good Bible definition of being saved, because you saw yourself lost and going to hell without God, because that you realize the fact that Jesus Christ died at Calvary and that He's the Son of God and died for your sins, rose from the dead and conquered it. And you repented of your sin and turned your life over to God and trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believed in your heart God raised Him from the dead, and you did that with all your heart. You didn't hold back part of it for yourself and say, well, now, God, I want you to save me, keep me out of hell, but I'm not going to live for you. I don't intend to let you have my life. Now, God doesn't save on that kind of basis. Only time God saves a person is when they totally give it all to God at that time. Amen. Now, you may later rebel in some areas. You may later have some problem God has to deal with in your life. But when you got saved, you gave it all to God and trusted Him fully as your Lord and Savior, or you never got saved.
Amen.
Amen. You never got saved. You can't get saved saying, well, I'm going to ask God to save me. I'm going to ask God to come in my heart, but I'm going to keep doing this. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to keep doing this anyhow. I'm going to keep living this way anyway. Now, God doesn't save on that kind of basis. Hey, you don't go down to the house of God to get saved and pick what you want and leave the rest of it out. You either take the whole package or you don't get it. I'm glad I took the whole package. I'm glad God saved me by His marvelous grace. I've been home where somebody, I'd ask somebody if it's saved, and the other member of the family, the husband, wife, or the mom, or the dad, somebody said, well, you know when you made a profession. If they don't know but they got saved, I don't care how many professions they made. Amen. This old fellow used to say, the old preacher used to say, if you've been baptized to the fish, frogs know your social security number. That don't change nothing. Amen. I don't care how many times you make professions, how many times you've been ducked under the water. If you never really got saved, born in the family of God, and if you ever got saved and born in the family of God and the light got turned on, the Holy Ghost got moved in, and you've made a new creature in Christ Jesus, you know you've been saved. You know God did something for you. Amen. And today I'm glad, praise God, it's a no-soul salvation. I know. I'm saved. You can't revive something. When we talk about revival, I'm not talking about unsaved people. Unsaved people can't be revived. They need life. They're dead. They need some life. And revival is for saved, born again people get stirred up. And I'm trying to move us in this direction now. I'm trying to set the table. And all I'm doing is setting the table. And Brother Crinsley going to come and preach. But I'm setting the table and hope for pray to God that we can get the table set right. But if you don't find out where you are, and if you don't know you're saved, I pray today God will help you come to that grips with that and know you're saved. Look with me in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 16. Verse 4. I love this. Thank God for the truth that is said here. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. Now, you're talking about Israel, but I make an application here today to say, none I pitieth thee to do any of these things unto thee, have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I'm glad Jesus came by one day, saw me polluted in my own blood, and said, live. I was dead, sins and trespasses. But he said, live, and now I have life in him. Amen. Look in verse number 9 of that same chapter. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. I anointed thee with oil. And I say, hallelujah. He washed me up. I anointed me with the Holy Ghost. And I say, glory to God. He swallowed me up, clothed me good, took me up in his arms, and said, I love you. And I'll pick you up out of that mess out there. They may throw you aside, but I'll pick you up. And I'll help you. And he did. And I say, praise God. And the Lamb forever. Are you saved? Do you really know you're saved? Today, you can come to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Lord and Savior. You can really be saved if you really want to be saved. With all your heart, with all that you are, come to Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to open the Word of God and look at the Word. Many are deceived. There's a generation. Lord, this generation are pure in their own eyes, but not washed from their filthiness. Lord, I pray today as the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and I realize I can't make that happen. But Lord, I'm asking in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will work in hearts. Those that do not know Jesus Christ will come to be saved. Those that are saved, truly saved, will let you have your way in their hearts as you speak to them about something in their life. I pray this day would not go by us without us doing business with you. Help us, God, to be honest with ourselves and honest with you, honest with one another. Father, may pride be knocked out of us. Help us to recognize where we are and what we need. Thank you in Jesus' name. In this service, Lord, in this invitation, I commend it in your hands for your glory. Amen.